So we start.
I'm Laurent Herbach. As you can tell, my accent is French. So you have to get used to my French accent. If you don't understand what I'm saying, just wait for a minute. Some things that I will understand that you don't understand me. And I will try to do something for you.
But you'll get used to. I know the first 10-15 meters are the most difficult. And I'm technical evangelist lead for Microsoft Central and Eastern Europe. So it does cover 33 countries, including Czech, of course. And that's it. And today we'll discuss a bit about Internet of Things. And I will show you a real project, which is basically what I'm doing at home,
mainly in my garden.
And that will illustrate what kind of real project of Internet of Things can be. And first I will start with the definition. So when you look at Internet of Things, it's a buzzword, but I think we can clearly now define what it is with a subset of devices that are things. It can be a PC, it can be a machine, connect to the internet, onto a server, upload some data, usually. And then you have some processing of those data which are done, and some analyzed, and then that goes back to either the things, either the environments. And this is an Internet of Things project, which means you just have a watch, it's connected to your phone, and don't do anything with the data. It's not an Internet of Things, it's just a nice gadget. But that's not going to be what we'll discuss in this presentation. In terms of development, what I like to do is separate that in four big buckets. We'll look at a bit of those four buckets. The things part, the cloud and infrastructure part, where basically you'll send the data and you'll store the data. Some data analysis, this is where you will analyze the data. There is an inside part where you, as a human, can take a decision, or a machine can take a decision. And then you can have this influence back. We'll discuss Microsoft technologies, but not only. I've used the Linux devices and so on, so we'll see that as well in the presentation. In the Microsoft world, you have two main platforms, the Windows one for the things, that's for example Windows 10 IoT Core, and the Azure Galaxy. And in this Azure Galaxy, you have tons of services which can be used for an Internet of Things project. We discuss something like six of those ones, like event hubs, like the new IoT hub, like stream analytics, some machine learning, for example, and a bit of mobile services. In terms of support, on the Azure side, we do support almost everything. Whatever you have, and the security, which can connect to the internet, it's basically supported with Azure. And we do have as well some certified partners which provide codes and SDK which have been tested and proven to work that you can use in project, and we guarantee it will work. And again, it's not only Windows, it's really almost anything. There are as well some older technology, I can say, like the Arduinos and .NET. It's quite old already now. It's a couple of years. It was existing far before Internet of Things was a kind of famous, common, or buzzword, and it's still used. Windows 10 IoT Core is now working on two different kind of platforms. You have the Raspberry Pi 2, the Intel, one of the Intel Atom, and Qualcomm Snapdragon 410C. And if you want to see one, you have to ask Stefan in the front row, he has one with him. We have as well partnerships with guys like Arduinos, so that we can integrate some of their hardware with Windows for Windows development. And vice versa, so that you can use a sensor which are on an Arduino in a Windows cell in Solar, and vice versa. So, from an Arduino, use sensors from Windows, from a Windows phone, for example. And all those projects are open source as well, and you can get a lot of information. That was very quickly for the introduction. Now time to jump in the real example. So for those who were here last year, I had a V1 of what I will present today. And this year I have of course a V2. What's the purpose of just staying with a V1, which does include much more technologies and much more of the Azure side as well as the device side. So basically, the main issue I had 4 years ago was when I was going on vacation with my garden. I had an automatic sprinkler system, but it was very, very basic, and I was not able to basically program it. I was not even able to take the humidity from the soil or the weather prediction. So when I was coming back from vacation, either the bet I've done before going on vacation was that it's going to be very, very sunny and very warm, and that was not the case, so I came back, it was a swamp. Either that was the opposite, like, it will rain for 2 weeks, no need to put a lot of water. And in fact, it was terrible weather, so warm that I came back, it was a desert. So I decided to basically build my own system. And I had a couple of existing things. So I had a design, a couple of Oregon scientific sensors for air and temperature. I had a couple of Arduinos, or mainly at Megas, in fact, 328. I had a couple of Netduinos, water, of course, Azure, and Visual Studio. So something to be used. And I've designed a first version, so something like a year and a half ago, which was quite simple. I had a couple of sensors on the top left that was going through a simple gateway, which is a particle.io. This particle.io was connecting to the Azure mobile services, and those Azure mobile services were storing the data in simple Azure, and I was able to get access to those information through an Azure website, now called Azure. The name has changed. And basically, that was the kind of only way to access Azure a year and a half ago. Since that time, they are much more things. And in order to play with those nice Azure technologies, I decided to build a V2. And this V2 is a bit more complex because I really wanted to use all the elements, not on the purpose of making it complex, but really on the purpose to make the project much more complete. So I still have sensors. But I have much more different sensors, so yes, I still have the only one working, but I have now as well sensors on Raspberry Pi. I have a gateway, which is much smarter than the simple gateway that I had. I'm connecting to the Azure Event Hub with Stream Analytics. I'm still storing the information in a simple Azure database. I've built some APIs. There is a recommendation workflow. We'll discuss a bit about that. I've done some experiments with machine learning. Later, the reason why I said that, and I'm developing a simple web app again with some JavaScript. The idea was to as well embed some Cortana development on that. It's very, very basic as well. It was more like a proof of concept than anything else. And of course, I'm using Cordova so that I can make an app with this beautiful website. On that, what is really working is the Event Hub, the Stream Analytics, the store in the SQL Azure Database, and few APIs. Okay, and I'm not even using the web app on a day-to-day basis. I don't really need it because the board, the sprinkler system, can connect directly to a recommendation workflow using HTTP REST. In the V1, what I've developed is quite some hardware with Arduinos, and I've developed my own sensors based on the Oregon Scientific Protocol. So I've been in the internet, read a lot of things, and re-implemented a decoder for this protocol. It's non-secured protocol, so anyone who is using some Oregon Scientific sensor at home, just to let you know, anyone can decrypt them, and if you're using their interruptors, the switch on and switch off the light, it's not encrypted at all. So any of the systems are not encrypted at all. So you can do basically whatever you want. In the early sensor I've created a sensor to be able to get the wind direction and the wind speed, as well as the raindrop, so how much it's raining. All that was using 433 MHz at a liter. And that was kind of electronic. It's not that complicated, I have to say, but electronic is kind of magic. So I have done a beta, but that was the beta version. That saved about 2 weeks in my main dining room. And one day my wife came and said, is it going to stay long here? Because if it's still there next week, it's not going to be there, but you can find it in the trash. I say, okay. I will then do a beta version, and then I put this board directly in the box. I mean, you can clearly see that it's exactly the same board with a solar panel, a battery, and a solar charger. It worked okay. The main issue I had is when the winter came, it was consuming too much energy compared to what it was able to charge. So basically, I was not really able to use this this V1 version as really wanted. But in terms of proof of concept, it was working perfectly. The development, that was Arduino's init, okay, at Megaswitch 28. I'm using the excellent Visual Micro add-on to Visual Studio extension, to Visual Studio. It's free for basic usage. You get all the color coding, you get everything you love in Visual Studio, plus some debugging. And I have to say that it's much easier for me to use than the Arduino tools. And if you pay, you have even more advanced version, you can do tons of things. The good news with this tool as well is that it does support all the Arduino compatible boards as well. So if you're doing, for example, development with the ESP8266, you can use Visual Micro as well, and that does help as well very much. The decoder. I told you that the first gateway, the V1, which was a simple particle.io, I had it. It's still working, and it's still like that, but the good news for me is that it's at the end of the plant, so my wife didn't see it like that. So what you have under the white paper, it's just a 433 MHz receiver, and the reason why it's on in the paper is because I bought some very cheap ones. It was to do some experiments, and I realized that in the end we have tons of electromagnetic waves of all kinds. Well, that's all parasites, basically. And I had to use the lights. I remember the Faraday cage. Who remembers the Faraday cage from school? Okay, no one remembers the Faraday cage? Okay, it's an isolation cage. So basically, in order to create a Faraday cage, you take some paper, you put some aluminium, you put it on the paper, you put another piece of paper, you put that all around your material, you put the aluminium to the ground, and you have a very, very cheap Faraday cage. But basically, it's a cage that you have, you know, the metallic cage you have around the old PCs and things like that. It's just basically to isolate from the magnetic waves. And it's working good, and you can even receive the one from your neighbors. That's interesting because the protocol is not secure now. New challenge. After the summer, so at spring, my youngest kid, like that, 12 year old, 11 at the time, told me, oh, Daddy, I'd love to have a greenhouse. And I said, sure, no problem. And I saw already in my head lots of opportunities to play with a couple of more gadgets, of course, and more opportunities to have more data and more opportunities to connect all that to Azure. So I say, okay, there are boards which I haven't played with, the Raspberry Pi, V1 and so on, the V2 was not released. So I've developed a hardware board which is very similar to what you've seen previously, except that now it's not running on the battery anymore. And there are a couple of more sensors like temperature, humidity, you have as well the soil humidity and things like that. And all that connected through serial to this beautiful Raspberry Pi V1 running Linux, but as a good C# developer, I love C#, so I installed Mono on it. And I've developed on Mono, and then this is connecting through a gateway at home, which is a Windows server, and this Windows server is connecting those data with the internet. I will discuss that a bit later. In a garden, that's how it looks like. So you put that in a nice box, some electricity, clearly our device is too much energy to work on a solar panel, and you really need something big like that to charge. And then you can see the sensors as well. So one humidity one, you can still see on the left side the wind direction and the wind speed, the drop rain, and the humidity inside the greenhouse. I've upgraded it recently to a V2, so to a Raspberry Pi V2, still running under Linux, and the reason why is that I wanted to add a webcam in the greenhouse. Is that just the right letter? That was funny because when I opened the box, which I haven't opened since March or May or something like that, it was full of ants and sand. I had to clean it a bit. The good news is that it was still working, you know. And the idea with the webcam, and we'll see that just right after, was to connect this webcam to Azure IoT. That's for the device which I have at home, and now we'll see how I connect all that to some Azure service. Okay? So the V1, for my V1. Remember, I said I used the Azure Mobile Services, that was the only thing available, the only one to go to connect to Azure. Quite convenient, very easy to use, very straightforward, very easy to set up, REST-based, so you can basically access to HTTP, and these mobile services are not forcefully secure by design, so they let you use either HTTP or HTTPS. Which is a good news because when you have those very cheap boards like the particle.io, the spine.io, it's not power enough to do HTTPS, so you can do only HTTP. And then you can connect them directly to this device. The other interesting thing is that it's free for low usage, so if you have some simple personal project, you can use that, it's working perfectly. How it's working? Well, it's just HTTP. And it just writes, so it's just text. So you send the information on the left, you do a post on the table, you give your key, your name, the content length, then JSON with the content, and you get an answer. That's what you receive from the server on the right. In terms of code, seriously, very, 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 very simple. Any platform where you have a socket connection, and you can connect on any port or on any server, the only thing you have to do is basically send the text which I showed in the previous slide. So very, very easy, very straight to the point. The function on the left is just to build the JSON string. I was very lazy, I just used the string objects in Arduino, and that's it. With that, you can post information on Azure. The key problem that you have here is when we talk about security. Okay, this is not secure in this session. I don't care. It's just in the top priority. I do not care. And I'm not taking tons of decisions with those humidity and temperature, wind direction, stuff like that. But for a real project, this is a real issue. Okay, so you have to move to something more secure, like Azure IoT Suite, like the Azure Event Hub, like anything else with at least HTTPS or HTTP, which is far more secure than that. The other issue you have using those very inexpensive chip is that if you want to secure them properly, if you want to have something that allows you to flash them remotely, it's going to be a nightmare. So taking in consideration security for all those kind of projects will mean for you going to much more higher-end devices with secure boot and stuff like that. So as soon as it's for your home, as soon as it's for a hobby project, as soon as you don't care that much about security, that's fine to use those Teams boards like all those Art Media and somehow the Raspberry Pi. As soon as you want to get more, then you have to take it seriously. And directly at the beginning of your development. Azure Event Hub, so on the V2.
much more serious, done scale, with millions of devices. If you have millions of devices connecting, even then we bufferize all the event coming, and then it will let, for example, Kubernetes or other services consuming it later. It's secure, it's using either MQP or HTTPS. You cannot use it with HTTP only. So we are forcing security. The good news here is that all the SDK and everything are for all platforms. So you have Java, you have C, you have C Sharp, you have Node.js, and everything is on GitHub as well. So you have all the sources as well, and you can clearly find anything for almost any device. The new Azure IoT Hub, you will find, of course, the Event Hub, which I've just presented, and you will find the Azure IoT Hub as well, which is kind of new, and I wanted to play with it. And for that, I'll just explain you a quick example. So I told you that I've upgraded recently the board, which is close to the green arrows, with a webcam. So the webcam is plugged from the Raspberry Pi 2 running Linux. Okay. Azure IoT Hub does a lot of two things: to send message to devices and to receive, of course, information from the device, like the Event Hub and Azure Mobile Services. I mean, the principle is the same. So here, the idea for me is to send a message specifically to one device. So I send this message from an application, for example, to my Azure Event Hub. The device will pull this message, will then process this message. As I wanted to learn Node.js, I said, okay, we're going to do it in Node.js on the board, because it's a good occasion to learn it. And so I did a Node.js application running on the board, which process the request, take a picture with the webcam, save the picture, and upload the picture into an Azure Blob Storage. So that was another technology to integrate and for me to play with, Azure Blob Storage, and when it's done, send the confirmation back to the Azure IoT Hub and send back this confirmation as a success to the application we send your sorry. And as I said, what you can do as well on the IoT Hub is exactly what you can do with Event Hub, which is send information from the device. I haven't done it in this specific project because I really do it from the other way. There is an excellent SDK as well, fully on GitHub, very well documented. It's really super easy to use. It's very, very straightforward to publish any information on Azure with that. This is how it does looks like. So on the left, you can see how the webcam, so on the far corner here, and the view from the webcam is on the right. Time to time, you can go and check the picture uploaded. It's not uploading live. I need to send a message to that. And all the codes, all the source code, plus another example on how you can send a message, plus a device explorer for Azure Event Hub is posted on my GitHub. So you can use and you can play with this project. And at the end, if we have a bit of time, I can do a real-time demo if you want. Now, I've posted data. I send data to the cloud, either to the mobile services, either to Event Hub, either to the IoT suite, which we use Event Hub, for example. What to do with those data? Back to the architecture. V1, storing it in a SQL database, and then displaying the data with an Azure website. V2, storing it, I mean, doing a bit of analyze, with Event Hub and Stream Analytics, and from Stream Analytics, storing that in a SQL database and consuming with API, not directly from the web application. There are other ways than to consume, of course, the data. You can use Excel. Okay? You can use Excel to connect directly to the SQL database, for example. It's working perfectly. You can use a Power Query if you want, if you have a large database and tons of data. It's working perfectly as well. I usually that a lot when I want to debug. Because with Excel, you can really get a lot of granularity. You can add some formulas, you can add some checks, you can do some graphics, you can process your information. So I can recommend Excel
you know, as a tool as well for a developer to be able to debug. The V1, the website is still working, the performance is terribly pathetic. Well, I'm using the service in Azure because I'm not using it that often. Second, that was I haven't done any web development for a very, very long time, so I've decided to do some ASP.NET and VC Entity Framework. The only point is that I have not optimized the database, I have not optimized the communication, I have not optimized all of that, so it's quite slow. But it's working. And well, I've used the ASP.NET, but you can use whatever you want. If you want to do some PHP app, if you want to do something else, it's not an issue. You can display graphics as well. That's actually from, I mean, the real data at this time from the wind sensor when it was working on the solar panel. Same question about security. When you have all those data, when you store them, when you give access to those data, you need to make sure that you're securing correctly all those data. When I've created this project, you know, this simple website project, I haven't selected the boxes to make it secure with the login and the password. Adding that later in the project is always painful. So think about security at the beginning. When you are using Azure to do any development on any web app, you can integrate very easily authentication from third parties like Microsoft, like Facebook ID, like Twitter, like your own login password if you want. And I have to, I really encourage you to do it. And then in terms of code, if you are using ASP.NET, it's very easy because it's based on roles. So the way you can access them is really by creating your own roles and your own role in the code. Stream analytics. When you send information to Azure Event Hub, you have to do a bit of analyze. So here the idea is to take all those data from Event Hub, analyze them, process them, and do something with those data. Store them through a SQL database, store them in a blob storage, store them wherever you want. Here it's an example of the real code that I have. To store them in two different databases, I make the code very verbally, you don't need to explicitly cast and do all that, but it's more readable like that. So basically you take what you get from the event hub. It's a bit like SQL, a couple of requests, and then you store that into two different databases. I say database here, but that can be another event hub, that can be another stream analytics, that can be another storage. Okay, it's very, very flexible as well. What is interesting in stream analytics is that you have, so here I just used the graphic part, but you have a way to monitor alerts. So for example here, I know that time to time, I have one long, I have an error, basically, in the app. And that's interesting because that doesn't really need to understand when I'm not doing something correctly. This is just for debug purpose. You have API as well for that, which means that you can consume those data from your own app, and then you can detect some problems in behaviors. And then you can take some action on the device, for example. If a device is sending all the time some wrong information, you can relocate the device if you're using Azure IoT Hub, for example. Or you can send an SMS to the admin or whatever. So that's some very, very good news with Stream IoT. It's very, very flexible and very, very powerful. You can do as well some time windowing. So some average, for example, every 5 minutes or 5 minutes windowing automatically. That's interesting as well, because you don't need then to do those kind of things in database. The website for the V2. So I was with a couple of friends over the summer doing an hackathon for one day. And we decided to basically create this simple app for V2. If you have good eyes, you can check the URL, and it should be working. And that was more to again lots of experiments to see how to integrate all of that with Cordova and an API, and to do a bit of JavaScript as well. As I said, I decided to add a couple of API in the project, not because it's very efficient, but I really wanted to understand what
the value of API.
The clear value of API is when you want your code to be reused. So if you have just, you know, your nearly client and only are consuming your own data, that's a bit of overhead. But if you have two, three different apps, if you have someone else who need to consume your data or some of your information, that's the way to go. So design them carefully, because when it's designed and when it's used, it's complicated to make them evolve. So for compatibility reason, for versioning reason. And same as for the device, keep security in mind. Okay, usually the unique key to access is not enough. You really need to take that in consideration, especially if you have tons of data and private data and data like that. But to be used, then it's very easy in JavaScript, for example. Okay, so now we have data, we've stored them, we've analyzed them a bit. They are in a database. What to do with all those data? That's always the key question. So you can get insights from those data in various ways. You can use machine learning if you want. And same hackathon over the summer, we say, hey, why we use machine learning? Let's go for that. And you know, I have tons of data stored for the last 2 years. So I did a bit of machine learning. It took me more than, not a full day, but a bit less than a full day to arrive to the model on the right. Okay, and this is just a simple prediction and if I need to screen code based on humidity, luminosity, and temperature. The thing is that I realized at this moment that you really need to have super legal in data. If your data are not clean, the model are totally broken. If you are missing data, then you cannot do machine learning. For example, I never keep track of when I was sleeping. It can be stupid, okay? But how can I commit if I need to speak well, if I never keep track of when I was screaming in the past? Okay? And those kind of simple things are things that you realize when you start playing, you know, with models, with those kind of models and stuff like that. All up, machine learning is really great. When you understand how it's working, even if you are not a pure statistician, it's working very well, but as a developer, it's even better. The reason is because you have API and you can consume the API in a very, very, very simple way. If you want to test some, there are some free ones. You can go to machine learning website on Azure and you can try the project for one. This is the face recognition, which may be seen in our world of my lab. And this is based on that. So you send a picture and then you give back the name. Now you can track as well, for example, the happiness of the person, etc. All that is based on machine learning. And the models are published as well. They are great models if you want to learn how to do those kind of things. So play with that, you'll see it's very very easy, very straightforward. I was impressed as well because every time you create a web service, either to inject new data or to consume new data, you have all the necessary code which is produced in JavaScript, C#, C, Node.js, C I'm not sure, but Node.js for sure, and a couple of others. So it's make it, and PHP, it's make it very, very easy to consume. Power BI. This is as well very straightforward. If you have data, you can use Power BI to consume your data. Same thing, I've played as well with the temperature and humidity. Okay, you don't see it very well. Here, you don't see it very well as well, but this is a sensor, the soil sensor, the soil humidity sensor. This one is working as well and it's still working on a solar panel. So time to time, I get out of battery. So this is sometime when you have the big hole. It's interesting for visualization. Same stuff, if your data are not clean, if you don't have enough information, it's not working that well. Okay? So if you are just a developer, work with a data analyst or someone who is really good as data when you are entering those kind of projects. So exposing now the information back to the system. That is a sprinkler system, I haven't discussed that yet, we discuss it now. The idea is to be able to understand when it's time to sprinkle or not. So with the V2, it's a fully API. It requires HTTPS. My board does not support HTTPS yet, so I'm still using it from the V1. The data, anyway, the same one, is the same database. And here, so with the Azure Mobile Services, it's super, super easy to create an API. Here, it's in JavaScript. The request is very simple. It's just do a selection of the solidity of the database and send back the last information. Not very smart, but very straightforward. And it just did the trick. The Sprinklr system, the current version is a .NET Macro Framework board. It's connected through an automate, but it's just an open collector. So it just acts like an embed. So whenever I send I want to open one electro valve, it just did it. So it's very, very simple. .NET Macro Framework is a very interesting technology. It's .NET running directly on a processor. There is no OS and it's managed. So we have a lot of technologies like development and Visual Studio, for example, and debugging real time with .NET. The inconvenient is that to do some very hard time, it's not working that easily. Okay, because it's managed code. But if you really want to do some very low level real time processing, you still can do it with some DLL and some low drivers. In the garden, so those are the electro valves. They are just connected through the automate here, and again, it's just an open collector, so it's working very very simply. In terms of code inside the board, it's .NET Conformer running on it, and I've implemented a web server. It's really a API, because originally I wanted to do a couple of apps to be able to consume the information. And finally, I'm just using the website. It's working just perfectly. This is a bit the interface that you have. In terms of security, it's not that secure. It's just HTTP. It's not powerful enough to run HTTPS. And I'm using a security key. So I'm passing a security key. So it's okay for 99.99% of the population. But for if you really want to hack it, it's not going to take you very long. That said, at the end of the day, it's just water at some point. It can be painful, but it's just water. In terms of consuming the Azure Mobile Services API, it's almost exactly as sending information on the mobile services. So you will send a request, a GET request, and you will have an answer. I'm just using a couple of helpers, an HTTP client, which just basically split the header and the response and the response code. And for the rest, sending the information is almost exactly the same code as you've seen for the Arduino. So it gets very, very easy. And when I have a response, if the response is the 200 code, which means it's okay, then I get the information back. What is important is just the data. You've seen in the API previously, just send back one information, the solubility, and it's a percentage. Oh, it does look like in a final integration, it looks like Unity 38. I have a simple rule in the board, which says less than 50 or 60, I don't remember, if I just So I can run that in a fully automated mode, which usually I do for a couple of days when I don't have any internet connection, or I'm sure that I will not have any internet connection for a couple of days. And I have a manual program, and I can always override the automatic programming if I want. Does that work? Yes, that does work. That does work very well. Those are the couple of rules. It's pitches on the left from last year. This year it works as well, very well. But unfortunately, I came back from vacation 4 or 5 days too late, and 70% of the pitches were on the ground. And it was a bit too late to get them. But it's really working. Current thinking of V2 is to replace the Mobile boards by Raspberry Pi 2 running Windows 10 IoT Core. already did the porting of my .NET Micro Framework code. It's working perfectly. The idea for me is to put a bit more security, play a bit, of course, with Windows 10 IoT core. So I will replace it before the next summer. What I need to do now in it is to integrate the communication with Azure, but that should not be a real issue in the coming months. I have tons of other projects in mind for this specific sprinkler project, with of course using more Azure services, maybe using a bit more devices, maybe having as well another Raspberry Pi 2 on Windows 10 IoT Core running somewhere else in my garden. I have a couple of other ideas. And so on. So, and of course, finish the V2 for the website and have a couple of more API. I said that I have a gateway at home. This gateway is a Windows server, and I'm running on it a service based on some real time communication. And I can add a couple of smart things on it. So on top of Azure, I want to be able to do some local decision and not always go to the cloud to take some local decision. This hybrid model with a gateway is a very, very common model in anything related to IoT. For example, alarms, if you have an alarm at home, it's this kind of model. You have a lot of, you know, stupid, simple sensors, so looking to a gateway. There is a bit of intelligence in there and things like that. Of course, what I want to continue to do with all that is to continue to have fun and continue to learn and to implement tons of technologies, not only the Microsoft technologies on the client side, but as well non-Microsoft technology running Linux on Raspberry Pi 2 is quite interesting, I would say. And what is cool is that it's just working. We have tons of good articles on Windows on devices. You can find all what you need to start on a device side. And one last thing, because that's just my garden, I have as well other passion. I'm French, okay? And I love good food. I have a couple of buttons in my basement. And this is that's my real basement. And this is you can see the marmalade on the right side as well. That's my own marmalade, with the food from the garden, of course. What I had before to do the inventory of my basement was a simple Excel file. And every time someone gets to the basement, you have to find the bottom of the list and then use the number. And at the end of the day, when you have, after a couple of months, there are some bottles you don't drink, that's fine, but then there are the drinks a lot, or more than others, and it's totally unbelievable. And you, of course, your basement then is not up to date. When you are shopping and doing, your kind of weekly or monthly or quarterly wine shopping in those nice wine cellar, and when you're visiting and when you're taking some vacation, you never know if you have this kind of wine or not this kind of wine. So I've decided to really do something on it last Christmas. It was the 26th of December, and I said, no, I really need to do something. I need to do something for next year because I want to start the year with something working. So I've decided to use QR code and put a QR code on every single bottle and a web app to get track of everything. And the idea is with any phone to scan the QR code. Actually, it's a real QR code and you can try to scan it. It's working and you will be directed to the website to be able to decrease automatically the database. So in less than a day, I've developed a full website with a SQL database, with a simple ASP.NET MVC website, with an automatic generation of QR code. You have tons of libraries existing on the web, so it was just to find one which was good for me. And in terms of reporting, I'm using Excel. Sometimes people ask me, but why are you using those old paper QR code?
Well, it works.
Huh?
It works.
It works! Yeah. And I have about 500 bottles, so if I put an NFC tag, which is about €1 per bottle, I can drink a lot of bottles for the price of the NFC tag. The other good reason is that I have some quite old wine,
that served Bluetooth and Wi-Fi for 20 years. Would I be able to read NFC code in 20 years? Maybe. Will I still be able to read a QR code in 20 years? For sure.
Okay? Even if Azure will have changed, even if I change the whatever, I'll still be able to read it. So I'll still be able to have the information which is on the QR code. So that's the reason why I've decided to go for this old-fashioned paper things, and I really stick the QR code in it. The way I'm managing that is that this is the page to create a new bottle. So whenever I create a new bottle, it does generate the QR code. I copy paste this QR code in a Word template, and then I print that on, you have some paper stickers so that you can stick, and then stick that on the bottle. So it took me less than a day of development, the rest of the day to document it and post that on my blog, and 4 times 4 hours to do the inventory. So it was more time of inventory than coding. And you can do interesting BI because using Excel. So you can see, so you don't have the full number of users in the users, the total of users. Of privacy, but of course, the person who's scaling the most data is Z. But this is the overall family consumption. The red bars are when you have weekends. Interesting enough is that when you drink, even if you're not alone and tons of bottles, the next day you drink not open a bottle. Kind of strange. When I'm traveling and either the ones staying at home are not drinking, either they forgot to scan, but looks like I'm the key factor of drinking wine at home. So that's the kind of things you can do with technologies. As a kind of summary for this kind of project, keep in mind that the device side can be quite complicated if you want to develop security. Doing a project for home is not that complicated. You can always update somewhere, and rely on wireless network or something like that. But in a real world production, that's very complicated. So it's very complicated. The rest is much straightforward in terms of everything on the Azure side. Still, if you want to do it correctly in a secure way, you need to have some Azure Event Hub, you need to have some stream analytics, you need to store those data, you need to have ways to consume those data, to display those data. So that's a kind of real project and that can take a lot of time. But you've seen that if you want to use simple services, like on my V1, it's not that much work, and that's something you can do at home for free. All what I've used in a V1 is totally free on Azure, for example. You have lots of articles available on my blog, so you will find most of what I discuss. There is as well something posted on GitHub, for example, and on CodePlex and on some other places. Time for questions now. Do you have any questions? Yes.
This basically takes an engineer to make steel. Did you first see any future? This is really complicated to pull together. It takes an engineer to
make. How many engineers?
Yeah.
So the question is how many engineers it takes to build those kind of things?
The question is if you foresee any near future where regular consumers and
oh, for a way to build those kind of architecture, you mean? This is easy.
Yeah.
For simple things like that, you only need some developers.
The sprinkler system and all the rest is much more complex. And consumers, no way. Let's make it very clear. Consumers to build something like this or this for a consumer, no way. Engineers, developers, yes, I mean,
not smarter than you are.
So those kind of things. What is interesting is per component, it's a couple of days. What is complicated is to integrate all those components and make that working and use your days on some of the components. When you are doing your things and when you are doing your device, the data you send are maybe not that good, you go back and that are on the device side, the security. I mean, it starts to be complex. It starts to be very complex. Consumer, forget it. I mean, with the technology we have today, okay. Developers, yes, and engineers, yes, we are always on that all day. So we can do this. Any other question? Yes?
How much data does this sensor generate?
Not that much, because I don't see you. So, I think it's a couple of. A couple of hundred snakes now on the city, it's not that much. For your environment, the class is not that much. I should check. It's come after. It's not that much. And sometimes I stop them for the development, stuff like that. So, not that much.
How often do we send data from
sensors? How often do I send data from sensors? So, on the. So the sensor to change the most data is the RAS data, which is so the one we know. It sends data to Azure in 1 minute. Yeah, every 1 minute. Well, it's enough for some humidity. When it's windy, no, I don't see too much of this. For the wind, it's a bit more often. So the wind is a bit more often, so 10 seconds for the wind, but not all data are sent. So only when the data are different, which is sent. So if the wind will not send the data. So this is the same data. But minimum is 1 minute anyway, when you should have new data. Any other question?
Then you put your phone.
Any other question? Too bad.
Always a question.
Yes. About the environment article?
Yes.
Is it possible to connect it directly to GitHub or not?
No, so
I saw just that you need to go to Particle Cloud and
yes. There. Yes. No, it's not possible because it's only the support of HTTP. So you have to go through.
There's Cortex and Streamlabs.
There is one?
Cortex and Streamlabs as well.
Yeah, but they are in support.
I don't know, it's in forest support.
Yes, yes. And it's not about me as well.
Okay.
So your block is that, so you have to go either through the particular type cloud, but from there, there is a partnership with them and you have the ability to take up your data in Azure. Either you go through Gateway, which is the other way to do it. You go to your own gateway and then your machine. Yeah. Well, the other way is working.
Okay.
Any other questions? Other questions, Stefan? Oh, usually you have more questions than that. You have high social computer, and so.
I think I need something else.
It's a good problem. What I'm missing in the greenhouse now is opening automatically the windows when it's warm, because over the summer the temperature inside goes more than 45 degrees. So you drop your salads if you're not eating them. It's quite easy to do with some sound windows, so you only need some windows for next summer. And I will be at Meta to manage the PWM accordingly. It's just a bit more action on the side. Yes,
the greenhouse.
Okay, then perfect. I can show you, by the way, the real how Azure Event Hub is working, because I see we have 3 more minutes. Let me show you a demo. So I've built a Node.js. It will appear in a second. Okay, I've built a Node.js. This is great. I need to go this time. I build a Node.js app, and in this app I can connect through my Azure user, and I can see the devices. So this one, the Low API, is the one which is in the. I will have to change it now.
It's on record. Yeah.
Yes, I will change the keys. So I can get the details. I can send a message like picture, which is to send a picture. If the device is connected, then it will handle directly the message. I don't know the mouse in here. I will go back to the list of devices. I will just see if there is a message waiting or not. Yes, there is a message waiting. So the message has not been processed yet by the device. I'm back on the checking every 1 or 2 seconds on the device side. And when it will be processed, what we will see is the image. So this one is probably the previous one. Yes, I did a test at 12 something. So if I try to refresh it, we'll see if it's being processed or not. No, it's not being processed yet. But when it will be processed, the device will be uploaded in the block selection. I have network connection and problems at home. I did a lot of wiring over the weekend. So I have an issue with one of the cable, which is the main one. But that should work at some point. Well, when it will be black, it will mean that the PC that is the okay. But you can with the SDK you can really do this demo quite easily. I can show you the code as well. And the good news is that you can do Node.js development on Windows using Visual Studio. You have the Node.js toolkit, and it's make it very easy to do. Just to show you a bit how it's working. So, for example, here, this is the code you need to get access to the list of devices. So it's a kind of one line of code. You give your connection string, you ask for all the registry, and then you list the devices. So then I send the device to the page. This is, for example, to get a list of devices, it's about the same thing. You connect the registry, you get the key for devices and things like that. To add a device, about the same thing. The main line is here, you connect to the registry, and then you create a device, and you add your device, and that's it. So the SDK is very, 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 very well done, and very, 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 very simple. And trust me, I've been in Node.js development before. It took me more time to understand how Node.js was working than to integrate and connect to Azure. So that's very easy. So all up, a few lines of code to really same kind of CCA if you want to remove a device. The message management is a bit more complicated, but it's something like 5 lines to be able to pull the messages and check if you have any feedback there. And this is the website. On the device side, it's really about the same. Here, for example, it's to upload something in a block storage. So the SDK is the same thing. You connect your block storage, and that's it. And you say upload this file, and then you check that it's done correctly. And that's very straightforward.
Okay.
Where is my mouse? Okay, mouse here. Yeah. And I will have to change my keys. All my keys. Good, I will have to update my device. Good news, I can do it remotely. Any other question? I think we are done with the timing now. 2 minutes left. No? Good. Okay, so thank you and have a good rest of the conference.